Good morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Room full of important people this morning. I don't even know if I have room to be in here, you guys. I'm just saying. From the BBB of Southern Colorado, Alexis Barton, Investigation Specialist, is here. Alexis, great to see you.
Good morning.
Paul Myers-Bennett, VP of Marketing and Events from BBB, is here. Hello, Paul.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thank you so much. And from UCCS, we know him, we love him, Scott Vaness is here. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about the series once again that you're doing this year. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Lots to know today, but we are going to start with some scams, aren't we, today?
Yeah, that's right.
And this is this a big time? So we're going to talk scams, then we're going to talk the series, and then we're going to talk about another big event coming up. There's right. So much to talk about today. So let's talk about a big scam, and we're seeing it, Alexis, in this area a lot, isn't it? It's a timeshare scam.
Yes, there are a ton of timeshare scam businesses that have picked Colorado Springs.
That's crazy.
It's really strange. Yeah, I'm not sure why the trend is here.
Right, because you would think more of like a resort town or a...
Yeah.
I guess this could be considered, you know, big vacation town. People need a timeshare.
Yeah, and kind of, well, it's not necessarily that the timeshares are here, but how this works is they're targeting people who own timeshares in Mexico.
Hmm.
So they're calling them just out of the blue and saying, hey, I know you own this timeshare. I'm willing to offer you, and usually it's two or three times what you actually paid for the timeshare.
Mm-hmm. And people are, a lot of folks are desperate to get out of their timeshares.
People are super desperate to get out of their timeshares, and this sounds like a really great opportunity. So this scam is pretty sophisticated. The paperwork all looks really legitimate, and it all starts out looking pretty good. Where it goes wrong is they start to ask, hey, well, because this timeshare is in Mexico, there's these fees for, you know, crossing country lines, and things work a little bit different in Mexico, and they have Mexican taxes that don't apply here. So can you just provide me this money up front? But don't worry, you'll get it back at closing. So it's just going to be $5,000 or $10,000 here, but you'll get it all back when we're done. So no worries. So people kind of buy into this thinking, oh, well, no big deal. If I'm going to get it back, I'll cover the taxes now. And then at the end, I'll have all my money back. And unfortunately, that's not the way it works. So,
at all. Yeah.
No. So they sort of bleed these consumers until they either say, I have nothing left to give you, or that red flag raises and says, wait a second, this seems sort of strange that you're asking for so much money.
Right.
And unfortunately, after that point, they sort of disappear. You don't hear from them again. They're asking for these monies through wire transfers.
I was going to say, how are they asking for the money? Red flag.
We've talked about so many times is the worst possible way to send money. So a lot of these people have wire transferred money to Mexico, and there's no way to recover it again.
At all.
At all.
That's scary.
And the laws and regulations that we have here don't apply in Mexico all the time. So even trying to get someone in Mexico to take action is next to impossible. And these are really, really high dollar scams. We had a scam recently. The lady sent $116,000.
Oh my gosh.
Thinking that she was going to get it all back.
To try and get out of the timeshare.
To try and get out of her timeshare, which is 4 or 5 times what her timeshare was actually worth.
Oh my gosh.
And they had just talked her into sending that much for different fees, filing fees, taxes, like I said. So some ways to avoid this and sort of recognize those red flags, because like I said, this one's pretty sophisticated. It's not always easy to spot. They do a pretty good job. So
okay.
Do your research, right? Which seems to always be the theme here, is check that stuff out before. You can always contact here in Colorado, a Department of Regulatory Agencies.
Okay.
They'll let you know if this sounds normal, if that person is licensed, because it does require a license to do timeshare.
Timeshare stuff, okay.
Exactly. Attorney General's Office, and then, of course, the BBB. Check those places out. Make sure they're in good standing with these agencies.
Absolutely.
And people have heard of them. The other thing that you can do is contact your timeshare resort directly. So a lot of times, if you've been targeted, you are not the only one.
Yeah.
So when you call your resort directly, they usually say, oh, no, no, we've had so many calls about this. We've heard about this. It's a scam.
Okay.
The other thing that you can check, and this is kind of a newer tip that I've brought, is if this company's website is brand new, which this is often because people catch on pretty quickly, right?
Right.
They can only do this for 3 or 4 months and they have to redo the website. So if you use whois.com, you can just copy and paste that website link in there and it'll tell you when the website was created. Usually it's within the last 6 months.
Okay.
Which should be a big red flag. Yes.
Okay.
Of course, don't send the money up front, even if they say it's for the title work. It's for fees. It's for taxes. All of those things.
Right.
Like I said before, if they are contacting you out of the blue, that should be a red flag.
That's the thing. Contacting you out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
That seems, I mean, that should be, to me, just bink.
Yeah, like, it's just like a random phone call. Hey, we want to buy your timeshare.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. So that should be the first indicator that right. something isn't right. If someone can't meet you in person to talk about this, that should be your next red flag. Also, try and gauge their reaction when you say, hey, let me do some research. Let me talk to my attorney. Let me check out the Better Business Bureau. Usually, they're going to try and talk you out of that.
Right.
Because typically, you're going to find out it's a scam.
Right.
Never deal with anyone that doesn't have an actual office where you can go meet them.
Right.
They're going to offer you way more than it's worth. And then lastly, you can simply just Google the business. If this scam has been going on for a couple months, there's usually reports, reviews about people that have had the same, or been in the same situation that you're in.
Okay. So all that information is on the BBB website. And what kind of a jump, are you seeing a jump in this in the timeshare scams here?
Yes. So in Colorado Springs, like I said, locally, the victims typically aren't here, but the businesses are claiming to be in Colorado Springs.
Oh.
So it's sort of giving Colorado Springs a bad name
yeah.
in that sense. But we are dealing with a lot of consumers really from across the country that are having problems with businesses here in Colorado Springs.
Okay. And we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about real estate scams as well. It's all coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with the BBB of Southern Colorado. Also, UCCS is here. We have so much to talk about today. Joining us, quick introductions. Alexis Barton, Investigation Specialist, is here. Alexis, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Paul Myers-Bennett, VP of Marketing and Events, is here. Hello.
Hello.
Scott Van Ness from UCCS is here. Hello, Scott.
Hi.
Great to see you. And Pamela Preston from UCCS is here. Hello, Pamela.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk with UCCS about, we talked about this last year, they're basically a series of classes that you will for businesses, and it's happening again this year, so we'll talk with Scott and Pamela about that in just a little bit. But first, Alexis, we have to talk about real estate scams.
Yes, we do.
We're not shocked that they're around still or going.
I was going to say, this is one of the ever-present scams, right?
Absolutely.
But summertime, this one seems to pop up a lot here locally. People like to come and either rent for vacation or find a rental down here for hiking season, camping season, all of those things. So this one's interesting in the way it works, and this is typically on things like Craigslist, Facebook. They're going to take a house that's most often for sale.
Right.
Take the pictures that the agent posts on Zillow or wherever they post their pictures and take those pictures and post it as a rental. So I'm going to post it as the house is for rent on Craigslist or Facebook or whatever it may be.
Right.
A lot of times they'll lower that price a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
This looks like a super great deal.
You know, when I start seeing rent prices in the Springs for $800, I roll over laughing. I'm like,
yeah.
Because that's just not, right? Well, that's just not.
A lot of times they target people who are moving here from out of town.
So they're not familiar.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily stick out as something that seems really wrong. So they give you sort of, again, this false sense of urgency, the high pressure situation. Yes, I understand that you're interested, but so is everyone else. So if you don't act quickly, mm-hmm. you're going to lose it.
Right.
So that sort of pushes people to make that decision a little quicker and do less research. They also ask them to put down the security deposit. And in these ones are easy to spot because in doing any of these research, drive by, right? And there's a for sale sign out front. That should be a huge red flag that it's probably not for rent.
Right.
Yeah. So this is how they target people. And the one that I find sort of most common with this is, hey, listen, I'm out of town. They sort of play on the military thing a lot, right?
Unfortunately,
hey,
yeah.
I'm in the military. I'm not able to be there to show it to you.
Right.
We're gone. We're out of the country. We're out of the state. But you mail me the deposit. I'll mail you the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And, no.
Yeah. To us, as awful as this sounds, unfortunately, it keeps working. And
well, and people are so desperate to get into properties right now. Desperate.
And that's exactly it. Yeah. And I think the harder that our market becomes for buyers, and the more expensive it becomes, this scam becomes easier and easier.
Absolutely.
Like I said, people want it for a little cheaper, and people are desperate to find something because it's really hard. So it's so much easier for these scammers to prey upon that and say, hey, yeah, go ahead, just send me the deposit. I'll mail you the keys. Here's a rental agreement. Here's the lease. Sign it over. And like I said, people keep doing it, and that keeps this sort of flow going. So tips to avoid this, again, watch out for deals that are too good to be true.
Yeah. Again, if you're seeing something for $800 a month in rent in Colorado Springs, that's like, no.
Yeah. And if, like, I mean, if you're not from here and you're not familiar with the market, do some research on something that's similar.
You can easily Google average rent price in so-and-so Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Or even in similar areas.
Right.
Find some comps and say, hey, whoa, this seems way, way less than anything else. That should definitely be a red flag. If it seems, again, everything almost just seems much better than everything else. Look at all these perks, and this is upgraded, and you have all of these things. Again, not only the price, but just maybe the amenities are too good to be true. That's another red flag. If you reverse image search those photos they have.
I was going to say, yes.
And it's popping up either for sale or on different websites with different agents, not the person you're talking to. That should be a red flag. So those images are going to pop up on multiple sites for sale, not for rent.
And you could probably reverse search, obviously, the address, too.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think, the easiest thing to do is just drive by, right?
Yeah.
Because more often than not, these are for sale.
Right. But if you're out of town, then Google is your friend.
Yeah, Google is your friend. It makes it a little more difficult if you're not from here. If you have someone that you know here that can drive by for you, see if they'll help you out and just check it out.
Absolutely.
The other thing that you want to make sure that you do is see the property in person.
Yes.
So if I'm a scammer, clearly I'm not able to walk you through and show it to you.
I can't. Yeah. I'm not here. How am I supposed to do that?
Yeah, but I'm out of town.
Right.
So sorry. So if you're not able to see that property in person, to get a walkthrough, to meet this person face-to-face that you're talking to, that should be another major, major red flag. Mm. And of course, do not send money.
Don't wire money.
Don't send money.
Like, don't send money.
Bold and underlined.
Yeah.
Don't send money unless, again, you've met this person in person, you've seen this place in person, you know that it is actually for rent, not for sale, and you've kind of done your background research there.
Right. Just be aware.
Yes. So research is always the underlying message here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just be careful. Okay, we do need to take a news break. When we come back, it's a series. It's an annual series between BBB of Southern Colorado and UCCS, a series, educational series, if you will, for businesses. And what to know, we're going to talk with Scott and Pamela next. Track 3 of the series, Communication Engagement Strategies Across Generations. These are very interesting series. You're going to want to learn more. We'll have that next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And joining you this morning, BBB of Southern Colorado is here, including Alexis Burton and Paul Myers-Bennett. Hello, Paul. Hello,
hello.
Alexis.
Hi
and
there.
Hello, hello. And joining us from UCCS this morning, Scott Van Ness and Pamela Preston. Hello, you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming in. And we have talked about this, Scott, we talked about the series extensively last year, but this is an annual partnership between the BBB of Southern Colorado and UCCS College of Business And you partner together to offer the multi-generational professional seminar series to help businesses deal with multi-generational workforce.
Yeah, that's correct. So a few years ago, we met with the BBB and we sat down with some businesses and we asked them, what's a big issue going on? What's something that you're struggling to work with? And the issue right now, and what it was a couple years ago and still is the fact that we have 3 to 4 workforce generations in a workplace at a time.
At a time, yeah.
They're different. They communicate differently. They process things differently. Their exposure to technology is different. And they were struggling to get everybody to work together on the same team. So we put the series together a couple years ago. We've been running it now. This is our third year we've been doing it.
Right.
And everything's changed in the last few years. So we've updated this even more to keep this fresh and for our businesses to be able to use what we give them and make a difference right away.
Well, and we were talking in the break, Scott, because you came in with a series talking about each kind of series last year. And even, I don't own a business, but even my brain was going, like, exploding, because there's how to get all these different generations working together, but keeping them all happy. And it's important to have multi-generational workforce.
Absolutely. You're not going to be competitive without that. So initially, we talk about the millennials. They're going to be, or they are, the biggest workforce generation in businesses. It depends on the industry. Some industries, they already are the biggest one. Others, it might be lagging a bit. But you couple that in with the baby boomer generation that's working into their 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And they have no plans to retire. And in the middle there, you got your ticked off, neglected Gen Xers.
Don't look at us like that.
Exactly. So it is a challenge. And we'll throw in another curveball. The newest workforce generation that we're just learning a bit about, Gen Z. And those folks are graduating high school. They're freshmen, sometimes sophomores at UCCS. So I'm seeing them every day too. And we're learning a lot. So it's definitely a challenge for the workforce.
Now, track one and track two, Pamela, have happened in the series, but track three kicks off tomorrow.
It does. It kicks off tomorrow morning.
And the focus of track three in this educational series, professional seminar series, is...
It's communication and engagement strategies that are across generations. So it's a three-part series. It happens three different Thursdays, April 4th, 11th, and 18th. It's from 8:30 to 10:30 at our UCCS downtown campus, which is 102 South Tejon Street. So it's absolutely mind-blowing. I've sat in on these, and they're amazing to learn about different generations, stereotypes that go along, how to overcome them. It's just amazing.
And getting the different generations to engage, I bet with one another is hard.
Absolutely.
But also managing the different communication types between generations and, say, management. I'm just speculating, but I'm imagining it's tricky.
Yeah, you're spot on there, because that's the heart of this issue, is the communication. Communication leads to engagement. If you're not communicating, you can't have engagement. So, developing strategies that have worked, and there are companies that are doing this pretty well, and we want to talk about that with our local businesses, show them what's working, what hasn't worked, and some of the pitfalls to avoid. With that in mind, folks who come to this series are going to get what I like to call a toolbox. You're going to get a toolbox. We're going to teach you how to use those tools. And you're going to be able to make impact right away in getting better at this.
And the size of businesses that you see at these series, are they smaller businesses, bigger businesses, or of all sizes?
Pretty much all sizes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've seen all sorts, large corporations, different industries. It's varied because it seems to be a topic that is relevant no matter what the industry, no matter what the size of business. So,
and the workforce, everybody is kind of struggling with this aspect of it. Yeah,
absolutely. Then add in, we see nonprofits. They're impacted by this. Government agencies, local, city, county, folks that work with the governments, they're dealing with it too. So it's a challenge across the whole workforce spectrum, and we're trying to help those folks out.
So to get registered, can multiple people come from a business or
absolutely.
An organization for the seminar?
Yes,
the series.
Absolutely.
And again, track three starts tomorrow, April 4th. So three classes, 4th, 11th, and 13th. And they do need to get registered, though. Registered soon, right?
Yes, soon, by 3 p.m. today, if possible, if they want to attend this seminar. And they can contact me directly at my office number at 719-255-4725. Or they're more than welcome to email my team, which is oped@ucccs.edu. I'll get in touch with you right away. We'll walk you through registration if you have questions. Also, for any BBB accredited businesses out there who would like to attend, or current UCCS faculty, staff, students, those who've previously attended a College of Business Executive Education program, there's a 10% discount.
Wow, okay.
So you are more than welcome to join. Give me a holler for that. I'll take care of you guys and get you in the class for tomorrow.
And would you say, Scott, that communications and engagement is one of the, first of all, we talked about this last year. We talked about this a lot. You talk about this a lot, Scott. Having that multi-generational workforce is imperative. But do you see kind of the communications factor of it, engagement factor? Does that kind of slow businesses down?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the key points. And as we've done the series, we've talked to the businesses, and I've engaged with other businesses in town and other events. That's one that's bubbled up, is the
kind
communication
of
issue.
Right.
And the issue of how people communicate, and we're going to start this series talking about the differences in the generations, how they communicated, what's considered a norm. And it's different as we go across that. You mix that all into a workplace, you might have an issue. So some of the things we've heard about is newer workers, millennials, maybe Gen Zs thrown in there, challenges with how to make a professional phone call, how to write a professional email.
Wow.
And just avoiding that kind of thing altogether. And something that was a given when a lot of us went into the work center, that's not there. So we're going to have to do a little bit more teaching, mentoring on that, and not necessarily brand somebody that doesn't know how to do that as unprofessional or can't adjust the workforce. They just haven't communicated that way. So it's going to take some work across the generations to make everybody better. And then with the other generations, that we're seeing the bandwidth of the affluent generation change, and now millennial generation, they're the ones spending the money. We've got to be able to reach them. They need to be communicated with the way that millennials have communicated with each other. So we can learn a lot across the workforce generations at getting better at this and bridging that gap.
Yeah, like emails right now. I'm just kind of guessing at some things, Scott. Yep. Like, so you can tell me about sending out emails to employees. It doesn't work for a lot anymore, does it?
Yeah, there's. I mean,
the millennials are like, wait, what you want me to read that? Like, right?
And just the sheer volume of emails that we get nowadays. Yeah. At UCCS, for example, we get hundreds of emails a week, and a lot of people that they've just put the all UCCS emails into their junk pile. They're not reading them at all.
Right.
So we've got to get better. We've got to sift through that,
teach
how to filter
ways.
That.
Yeah.
This is important. I need you to read this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back again, we're going to give you details on how you can register for Track 3. And then we're going to talk about Track 4, 10 Ways to Thrive as a Millennial in the Workplace. And we will have more when we come back on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Joining us from UCCS this morning, Scott Van Ness is here and Pamela Preston. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for coming in. And we're talking about the Multi-Generational Professional Seminar Series, which happens annually between UCCS and the Better Business Bureau. And we've got two tracks left. Again, Track 3 kicks off tomorrow, Communications Engagement Strategic Strategies Across Generations. And registration, really quick, Pamela, is due by today
series. Yes, okay. 3 p.m., please.
And then kicking off is Track 4. When is Track 4 launching?
Track 4 launches in June, so it's Thursdays again, just to make it kind of simple. June 6th, 13th, and 20th. Same time, 8:30 to 10:30 at our UCSCS downtown campus, 102 South Tejon Street.
Okay, and Track 4, Scott, we are talking about 10 Ways to Thrive as a millennial in the workforce. So you're specifically targeting millennials, but giving them tips on how to, hey, you're not just working with millennials kind of a thing. Is that right?
Correct. So this series kind of started, we were doing Career Day at UCCS, and we brought our students in, our seniors that were getting ready to graduate, and came up with a presentation on things you need to be thinking about in the workplace. I had just come out of industry. I'd seen some mistakes made, things that hadn't gone right. So I came up with this is how it started. Then when we ran it over here with the BBB series, initially it's aimed at millennials, but it's also aimed at other workforce generations, especially if you work in human resources. These are strategies you can use for onboarding to successfully integrate folks into that. And if we have more than one or two or three workforce generations in the class, it makes the discussions really interesting. So we talk about the pitfalls to avoid, things that we've seen go wrong. What's it going to be like? What should you expect? And then there's one section. It's 10 questions to ask your boss before you start.
Interesting. Yeah, as a millennial.
Absolutely. Because we may have done a disservice making things so informal today. And the workplace used to be more formal.
Absolutely.
Everybody calls each other by their first names. That gets misinterpreted that, hey, this is an informal workplace. And it's not. You and I, we could walk in. We'd pick that up in 2 seconds.
Right.
We can see those signs, but folks who haven't been around that environment or have been raised in a really, really informal environment in schools.
Like, doesn't kind of recognize, like, this is the boss person, yep, and this is the, yeah, right, like the, okay.
And questions, can I ask, is this a, you know, we tell them, is this a question to ask your boss? Is this a meeting that I can ask a question in? It's like, no, this is not that kind of meeting. We'd recognize the boss is going to say, are there any questions? Don't ask a question.
Right.
This is not that time.
Acknowledge when you don't know.
Right. And then tell them ahead of time, you can ask questions in here.
Wow.
You know, and we can tell. And teach them how to do that. What is your boss like to be called? Great question. How do you ask your boss? How do you like to be interrupted? Because, I mean, do you want to email? Do you want me to come on by? Because otherwise they will interrupt.
Right.
So we want to do that right. And I remember asking a boss when I was in industry that, how do you like to be interrupted? And his answer was, I don't. Yeah. So
that's exactly
so that
right.
told me,
yeah,
unless the buildings are on fire, I'm not bugging this guy.
Absolutely. And I like how you mentioned, Scott, if you can get different generations in this class, it actually does make for better conversation, doesn't it?
It does. And we're going to get good examples, especially the human resource community. This is a great place to kind of bring that in because those first few weeks, months, they're
integrating
folks,
and bringing
absolutely, because they're
like,
going to
yeah.
leave if it's not a good fit. And right now, the job situation it is, they can leave.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, when we just had the Pikes Peak Workforce Center on this morning, and just in our area alone, there's over 13,000 jobs in El Paso and Teller County. So they're like, okay, see ya. Okay, so that track 4, 10 Ways to Thrive as a Millennial in the Workforce, June 6th, 13th, and 20th, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Pamela, how do they get in touch to get registered for either track 3 that starts tomorrow, which closes, registration closes by 3 today, or track 4, or both?
Or both, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you. You can contact me directly at 719-255-4725, or you can always email oped@uccs.edu. Either way, you'll get in contact with me, and I'll be able to get you through the process.
That's awesome. Thank you, Scott. Great seeing you and Pamela from UCCS. Okay, Paul, come on up. Can't forget Paul.
That's
got
right.
You. Do you have
That's
your
right.
announcement?
Thank you. I
do. Because there's big events coming up.
Later this month, there are two big events that we're partnering with.
Correct.
El Paso County. Ours is Letter Rip. And so what that is it's a time to come downtown from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30. You have to pre-register.
You have to. We can't emphasize enough.
Correct.
Have
correct.
To, or else correct. You show up, it's going to be like, bye-bye.
That's right. This is a time when you can get rid of those confidential documents that you have sitting around, maybe after tax season, and you want to get rid of a box. So you can get rid of 3 boxes. We'll have it shredded, and those are free. After that, there's an additional cost.
Okay.
But yeah, pre-register, 930 cars are welcome to show up. Of that, we already have 500 plus are taken of those.
So there's only a few hundred left.
Correct.
So how do they get registered really fast?
So they can register through the BBB. They can Google search Letter Rip 2019, or they can do it through El Paso County.
Perfect. Yeah, and as we've seen in years past, so many people turn out is incredible. So
it'll be fun. Registered. It'll be fun. There's coffee. There's DJs. But more than anything, you just
are you
going
to be out there, Paul?
We will be out there. A lot of volunteers. Exactly. We will be there helping to get rid
force.
Of it. In full force.
Yeah, absolutely.
We sure will. And then a shout out to El Paso County. They are doing Keep America Beautiful, Great American Cleanup of the Pikes Peak Partners, and that's also on Saturday, April 27th. At 9 a.m. So look into that with El Paso County.
Absolutely. And speaking of El Paso County, coming up tomorrow, it's not going to be an easy conversation, but we're going to be talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month. That's tomorrow with the El Paso County Department of Human Services. Alexis, Paul, Scott, Pamela, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Okay, we got Tom Martino coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.